It's Monday, February 4th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey everyone, I'm Ferry from a very warm Indiana. Very strange here. But anyway, got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and yes, we're coming to you as live as it can be from Bloomington, Indiana. We have the show on the road. I'm just south of Indianapolis, and Bloomington is the home of the Hoosiers. So, of course, we're recording via our mobile Geek News Central studio, and I'm here in a Homewood Suite by Hilton. A pretty nice little hotel room, same type of layout as I had when I was out in Dallas. But yes, once again, we're continuing the show on the road. For those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, hey, this show is normally recorded in Honolulu, but I am on the road and taking the show portable. So I hope that you're going to stick around today and listen to the show. Of course, we want to make sure that you get subscribed to the podcast as well. You'll see an RSS link available via the website, whether you're subscribing via iTunes or the Zune Marketplace. Also, get signed up for our newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. But for all the Ohana here that are longtime subscribers of the show, hey, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the audience. And thanks for all your great commentary that's been coming in via email and voicemail. On today's commentary, if you have comments, you can always send comments to geeknews@gmail.com or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Well, wow. Last time I was with you, I was in Dallas and very, very worried about the weather. Well, it turned out that by the time I got into Indianapolis, the weather had really pretty much stopped snowing. The road trucks were out and the roads were salted, and I was able to get on the road and in very short order drive up to Michigan to hook up with my mom and see her and spend some time with her. You know, of course, the big talk on the expressway and during listen to the radios was how all the forecasters got it wrong. And be honest with you, this is one time that I really am appreciative that the weather forecasters didn't have it right and were able to, get the forecast wrong. So, but it did get they did get quite a bit of snow up in Michigan. I guess there was about 6 inches on the ground up there, so that made it kind of nice to be able to kind of hang out. And my mom's got some bird feeders there, and I was watching the birds come in, and just, you know, it was kind of nice. It really, really was. Now, you know, everything with the cold, and I don't know what it is, but why is it when it's cold, it just, like, it sucks the life out of you, and you just, about 8 o'clock at night, you're like, oh, I'm ready to sleep. And I think it's just natural. I think we're probably meant to hibernate, not be active in the winter, but boy, I tell you, I sure missed the warm, cool, tropical breezes of Honolulu, that's for sure. Well, my mom and I got caught up, and we actually went down to my grandmother's house, and grandmother and grandfather, she had a birthday, and we took a birthday dinner down to her, had some birthday cake. She turned 97, so she's almost she is legally blind. But I got to talk with her for a little bit, and of course with my grandfather as well, who's 98. So I had a good time catching up with them, and then Saturday evening we loaded up, and it's kind of funny because my mom saw the GPS that I was using, that HP iPack Travel Companion, and the rental car that I had picked up from Hertz had a GPS in it too. It was a Magellan? Anyway, so here I'm kind of weird. I've got two GPSs as I'm driving north towards Michigan, and my mom says, well, let's compare the third one because I've got one. So we had a Garmin, a Magellan, and the HP one in the car. It was hilarious because it looked like mission control inside inside the vehicle, but it did give me a good perspective on three different GPSs. And but we definitely were not getting lost. If we would have got lost, then something would have been seriously wrong. But I had dinner with went down to Elkhart, Indiana. I had dinner with Annie McCaskey and his lovely wife. Got the tour of the studios for Slashdot Review, and I tell you, Andy is as big a geek as I am. He truly, truly is. And I was most impressed. He had a studio upstairs that he was recording. He records his show standing up. And I have never recorded my show standing up. I always record it sitting down. So I thought it was unique in the way he had to set his microphone up and everything, and using spot ties and everything to keep it in place. What we will do to make sure we have our studio set up the way we want is pretty amazing. But after that, drew back to Michigan late that evening, spent Sunday taking care of some stuff for my mom and doing some errands for my grandparents. And then late in the afternoon, I had to load up to drive down here to the Indianapolis, greater Indianapolis area. Roads were good coming back, and so I'm down here in the hotel. I got in just about the third quarter of the Super Bowl. I turned that on, and I ordered some food from, I don't know, the hotel here had some flyer on the desk, and that was my first big warning. I should have never have done that. But it was called Buccetto's, B-U-C-C-E-T-O, apostrophe S. I don't recommend it. I really don't. It was pretty bad, and I ordered spaghetti. Now, how can you mess up spaghetti? There's supposed to be an Italian place, spaghetti and meatballs. You can't mess that up, right? The spaghetti gave me heartburn, like you, just like nobody's business. So that was nice to, you know, essentially crawl into bed later with. Crawl into bed later and have heartburn. Not good at all. Well, it looks like I'm going to try to have a podcaster meetup here in the Indianapolis area on Wednesday. I'm going to try to do it on Wednesday, so hopefully that works out. I've sent email to several of the people that were interested. If any of you are in the Indy area, and we're going to try to meet in the south part of Indy. So drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. We'll try to do that on Wednesday. Now, on Friday afternoon, after I get wrapped up, I'm going to be joining my team at the Hilton in Indianapolis downtown. We're going to be having our winter retreat, where we lock ourselves into a suite over the weekend and plan our strategy for the coming year. So everything's good on this front. I called home, talked to my lovely wife, and talked with the kids. Of course, I've been talking to them every day, really. She's been giving me updates and calling me and letting me know what she's doing. And she's hired, well, she hasn't hired, but she's getting a general contractor, a friend of ours that is in the business, somebody we know and trust, is going to come out and give her an estimate. I don't know if I fully am on board with kind of what she wants to do, so I kind of wanted to have her get an opinion by them to think of. She essentially wants to turn one of our single doors into basically double doors. I can't think of what they're called, but she's thinking about doing that, and I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what the guy says, if he thinks it's going to be good for the valuation of the house or not. But my daughter's lost two teeth, and she keeps reminding me, Dad, I'm almost ready for braces. And I'm like, well, yeah, let those baby teeth all get out and and the permanent ones come in, and then we will look at doing braces. So she's going to need them. I think she's the only one in the house that, well, maybe Ray will too. I don't know. Hey, one thing I want to share with you here is my mom have any of you ever bought any essential oils? I mean, these pure, have you ever bought pure essential oils? Well, she picked up, she went to a class, and she picked up some essential oils, and she's given me two vials of this. One of these is peppermint, and the other is, I can't even read what it is on here. The label's kind of blurred. But these things, you take a couple of drops of it and you rub it a certain way, and then you put it on, these ones particularly, when you put it on the bottom of your feet, And this is supposed to help me sleep better and not snore. That's at least that's the remedy that they say is needed. So I'd be curious if any of you have ever used any essential oils before. This is kind of an interesting experiment. These things are not necessarily cheap. They're like $20 a bottle, and I think you get like, you know, this one is 0.17 fluid ounces, so very, very small in the amount that you actually get. Lasts a long time because you're only using a drop or two, but I'd like to hear from any of you that are using essential oils. Give me some feedback. But boy, oh boy, busy, busy week here. To us out today in an area, meeting with some folks, and no cell phone coverage. What is up with that? I mean, none. D-E-A-D, dead. No cell phone coverage. I was like, how can you be in an area where there's no cell phone coverage? But sure enough, they were on one of those fringe areas that didn't have any. I was just pretty well flabbergasted. But it happens, I guess. So we'll see how that goes. It kind of bothers, you know, that's weird, you know, not having cell phone coverage. It's pretty crazy. But anyway, let's take care of a little business here. Of course, if you're looking for domain names, hosting accounts, virtual dedicated servers, you name it, get over to GoDaddy.com and pick up a domain name. And when you get to that checkout counter, use the code TODD to save 10% off on your order, or use Geek5, G-E-E-K-5, to save 15% off your orders of $20 or more. And if you use that code TODD20, TODD20 is a special code that you can use on shared hosting accounts only. Long as you buy a one-year plan, it'll give you 20% off on that, combined with any of the discounts they've got. So check out GoDaddy.com and make sure you use some of our promo codes over there. Now, I was at Andy's house. Him and I were talking about our upcoming roundtable, and I'm going to be actually doing that the weekend after I get back. I'd already kind of warned my lovely wife that this would be required because we have to get one out before the end of the month. So we're going to be having a roundtable on February 23rd, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern. Of course, that is hosted by and sponsored by GoToMeeting. So I hope that if you haven't checked out GoToMeeting yet, please do so. It's the best way to have a web conferencing meeting. In other words, you don't have to travel. You just load the application up, invite some people in via email or a text message, and you can have an instant online meeting. And you can get a free trial at GoToMeeting.com, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Get a free 30-day trial, no credit card required. And thanks for GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Well, I've got a bunch of stuff lined up for you tonight, and I'm trying a different layout in the studio, the portable studio. And I'm not real happy. This room's got a real high echo. And when I started this show, I have a tendency to be really loud, and I could hear the echo in the headset, so it wasn't good. Tried changing the position of the desk a little bit. That didn't help. So I'm actually not talking as loud as I normally do to try to keep the echo down. But it is what it is, folks. It really, really is. Well, the big news, boy, oh boy, big news has just been dominating the news lines for like the last 2 or 3 days is the announcement by Microsoft making a tender offer for Yahoo. And boy, I mean, there's just people saying yes, people saying no, people saying it's crazy, you know, talking about the regulatory issues Microsoft is going to have to go through. But $46 billion, I think it was actually $46.1 billion is a tendered offer. And I don't think there's a lot Yahoo can do about it. It is not a, well, I don't know if it's necessarily being classified as a hostile takeover, but it's definitely not one that I don't think the Yahoo folks wanted. But there's a few other companies. News Corp has said they might try to get on the action, and even some rumor about Apple. So we'll see what happens here. But, you know, there's different opinions out there. And Microsoft is saying that they're going to probably end up having to borrow money to do this. So I just thought about this. $46 billion. Is Yahoo worth $46 billion? You know, let's think about that for a second. How long has it been since you in this audience use Yahoo as a search? How many of you have Yahoo Mail? How many go to one of the Yahoo properties? Now, I use Flickr, but 46 billion? They have a market cap, I guess, of about 25 billion. And they only had 6 billion in sales. So, you know, 6 times 3 or 4, that's 24. Jeez, I just don't. It's just amazing the amount of money that they're offering for the company. But it is what it is. And, of course, Mark Cuban is weighing in saying Yahoo should say yes to Microsoft. And there's others, of course. Google is saying, you know, they're putting their 2 cents worth in for whatever it's worth and basically offering advice to Yahoo. I don't think Google wants this to happen. But, you know, Google is soundly beating Microsoft and Yahoo right now, so I don't think it's going to affect anything that they're doing. But it is kind of interesting to see this strategy going down, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of information to watch here over the company next couple of months. I'm not going to link to very many articles just because there's been so many, and even one of the contributing editors at Geek News Central had actually put up an article on it too. I haven't really, you know, done any in-depth analysis. I was reading all the different talking heads ones, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. But with $46 billion offer, take the money and go home. You know, that's what I would do. Come on. I don't know what the payouts would be for the founders if they would, you know, how that would work. But they definitely would cash out in a big, big way. I was over on Doug Kay's website, and I read an article that says the pay-to-play model. And I was pretty surprised about this because I didn't know Doug was using this model before where he was allowing companies to publish through their system. And it was involving the Conversation Network where they were using some fee-based services. Pretty surprising on this. And I'll let you guys go over there and read this. I'm definitely going to send Doug an email off on, you know, what they're doing over there. But he provides some breakdown in some other articles on the website that talk about how much it was costing to do production of each program, delivery costs, and so forth. And it's very, very interesting. And I just was surprised that he was doing this. I didn't realize that companies could pay to have their content published on his network. Essentially, his company would do the podcast post-production on a fee, and then it would go up on their website. So, very curious. I do think the idea that he has that. Now, he's had some problems with this model, and I do think his ideas on what he wants to do to change it are probably good, but I was really surprised. I didn't realize that. I will have to admit, folks, it's about 9:30 local here in the area that I'm at, and I'm wiped out. I don't know why. I hope it doesn't reflect in the show, but I will say that I'm dragging tonight, so it's I'm sure the show notes will be full of grammatical errors, so y'all can have fun picking that apart. Over on the Raw feed, they've got a report up. It's How Big Is the Web? A group called Netcraft, they surveyed the web and estimated that last month there were 155,583,825 websites on the net. I thought this was pretty amazing because I thought it was higher than that. But only 155 million, according to them, and there's about 5 million new sites each month. Which is pretty curious. There's also some information on what type of servers people are using and so forth. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Well, the folks over at the Pirate Bay, boy, they just are under attack essentially left and right. The battle between the IFPI and the Pirate Bay continues. A Danish court has ruled in favor of the IFPI. Essentially, what they've said is this ISP called Tele2 is going to be required to block access to all BitTorrent tracker sites, court ordered. So now anyone that's using this particular Danish ISP called Tele2 is going to be it's going to be locked out. Now, the Pirate Bay is reacting by buying a bunch of Dutch domains to try to avoid the this action that's being done against them. They're going to assist, I guess, set up some mirror sites or something. But this is on top of the UK's Federation Against Software. It's the UK's Federation Against Software Theft, and they've been called the Federation. This is what this group has been nicknamed. And this Federation Against Software is a organization that has been set up for quite a while, but they've been trying to stop the illegal use of software through enforcement, lobbying, and education. So what they're going to start doing now, and for those of you that are in the UK, you need to really be paying attention to this. So they're going to start doing tactics like the RIAA is doing, and they're going to start something called Operation Tracker, and it's going to be aimed at tracing large number of computer users who are breaking copyright laws by sharing software on the internet. So be fully aware here that this group is going out, and they're going to be collecting information. I'm sure what it's saying, it's a prelude to sending out injunctions and people being hauled into court and making to pay fines and so forth. Found some real cool stuff today. One link is not at all techie related. It is kind of on the science and engineering front, something that's been open since 1911. And I will say this, it's related to tunnels. And when you guys see this thing, it's really, really cool. It really, really is. All right, over on wisebread.com, most of you that are listening to podcasts realize that some universities have been making lectures available online. Yale is offering some lectures as well available online. So, there's some really cool ones. There's one that's being done by a Yale professor who teach a physics class, a Physics 1 course. Actually, it's at MIT. So he's been releasing his, and there's been others, of course, as well. So this kind of gives you a link to some of these courses that have been made available. And why not? If you think about it, folks, if you can go and get a Yale course or an MIT course and download it online and watch a video or listen to an audio programming of it, think of the money that those students are paying to go to those classes. And while you may not get credit for the classes, at least you'll get exposed to the curriculum. And if you can, it's probably pretty easy to do a cross-check and see which books they're requiring for the class. If you go out and buy the books, you essentially could get a some MIT and some Yale type classes to, beef up your personal education system. And, obviously you'd want to get credit for them. And, who knows, you may want to just go ahead and sign up for the course if they have it available online. But very, very cool. And I'll have the link up in the show notes on this. CNN is reporting that the FBI wants palm prints, eye scans, and tattoo mapping. Now, if you have worked any type of government job, state job, and anything that's doing with children, many of those jobs require that you get fingerprinted. Now, I've been fingerprinted a number of times throughout my career when I was in the Navy, and give a DNA sample as well. Just all kinds of, there's probably a database of stuff on my personal characteristics online with the government already, but maybe many of you have never had to have given up your fingerprints for some sort of a job or a different type of position. But now the FBI wants to start adding palm prints, eye scans, and tattoo mapping to personal identifying marks that they track. So they're gearing up a massive computer database of these physical characteristics, and they're spending awarded a $1 billion 10-year contract to help create the database that will compile this array of biometric information. So privacy folks are, they got their eyes open on this, and I'm sure many of you are thinking, whoa, what's this all about? But, I think it's, they're saying it's to avoid, it's better to be able to track people so that we don't have terrorist issues and so forth. But I don't know. I don't know what I think about this. You know, how long is it going to be before we have to eye scan to get into a building or something? You know, that could be a that could be a reality here in the future, where the FBI makes sure everyone is retina scanned, and you go to get into a government building or something, you have to stand up in front of the retina scanner to get access. That bothers me a little bit, but it doggone well could happen. So, again, FBI wants palm prints, eye scans, and do tattoo mapping. Well, they don't have to worry about the tattoo mapping with me. I don't have any tattoos. Next up, Windows Vista News. They've announced the RTM of Windows Vista SP1. So it looks to me like they have got the Vista Service Pack 1 ready to go, and it's been released to manufacturing. So I guess what are we going to look at here? What's the date that they're shooting for this Service Pack release? For those of you that have been waiting for a Service Pack release, well, now might be the time to, you know, consider upgrading to Vista. Now, I know there's going to be some people here that are going to be getting out the shotgun and blasting me here probably via email, but with Microsoft stopping support on Windows XP, at some point we're all going to be forced into this. Now, I'm waiting for a new computer to arrive, and I'm going to be in the Vista crowd with that particular machine. So I'll definitely be applying the service pack as you know, as quickly as it comes out. And I'll be giving you feedback. You know, we haven't talked about Vista too much here just because, hey, haven't been using it primarily on XP. And that's, you know, it's what's on these machines I have with me today. So we'll keep our eyes peeled. But anyway, service pack one is out for those of you with a Vista machine. Oh, okay, we're on TechCrunch. They did a review of a site that has launched called Website Grader. If you want to know how your website matches up against others and how it looks in the search engines, you can use this. Now, here's the thing. I'm a little bit leery about putting my primary keywords that I want for my website to come up number one in Google in some third-party website. I don't know what they're doing with that data. Are they collecting those keywords? Are they going to be using that against me in AdSense ads? Or are they going to be selling those keywords to my competitors? Because there's a place in there you put in your site URL, the keywords that you think are relevant to your site. Then you list who your competitors are. Then you put in there your email address. I'm thinking, okay, they've got, if they get that information, then what do they do with it next? Do they go to my the people that I've listed as competitors and say, hey, here's Geek News Central's primary keywords that he's, you know, targeting the search engines for? It could happen. I didn't see no privacy policy on there, and no, you know, they don't say what they do with your data. I'm not going to use it, but if you're interested, websitegrader.com. All right, there's a new product out, and I think we talked about this before, but pricing is out. It's called the Hi Mini, HYMINI. It's an alternative power source, which is pretty cool. We've seen an influx of these types of devices, solar arrays and so forth. I've seen some at CES that looked pretty promising. But what this is a wind-powered device that spins, and then it will charge, you know, basically your portable devices. So very, very cool on this. It's $50, and I don't know exactly how they've got this set up to actually spin. Now, if this thing is doesn't mount in your car, I guess it just has to be, the wind power has to be rolling through at a minimum of 9 miles per hour. So that means a good breeze or a bike ride. Or maybe a wind coming out of a vent of a car or something. I don't know, but I think, you know, where I live, these would work real well, but I don't know how waterproof they are, if I'd be able to stick it outside and have it charge up that way. But check this out, HY Mini. It's over on slashgear.com. All right, Microsoft is looking to bring Surface home sooner. Now, we did it's a video that I was actually editing last night. We got to see some cool demos at the Consumer Electronics Show of Surface, and I tell you, it's pretty cool. It really is. And every self-deserving geek will want one of these in their home just as nothing else for bragging rights. But currently they're just too expensive. I think they're like $10K. But Microsoft is looking to get the price down on these so that people can have them in their home. I really like the idea of having a Surface where I can throw my cell phone on. I can throw my different devices on. It'll do pull data off it or push to it. Same thing goes with, kind of like a home media center type thing where you've got, the wife can sit down and get recipes or whatever. It's pretty cool. It really, really is. Lots of features, and of course, they had it a good demo there at CES. You'll see it when we put the video up. Matter of fact, I put three videos up last night. Two of them were from Annie McCaskey, and one was one that I did. There'll be much more faster pushing of videos here in the coming days, so keep your eyes peeled over at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, if you have any commentary on today's content, you can always leave an email, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. All right, we heard about these cable cuts, right? Where parts of Egypt, India, UAE, different places were offline. Well, it turns out two submarine telecom cables in the Med were the ones that got cut. But then there was a third cut over by UAE, and people are starting to get a little bit suspicious. So the conspiracy theorists are talking, but those that manage these type of cables are saying that these outages happen fairly often, but are usually not noticed but due to cable redundancy, which allows system operators to route around the outages. Now, I don't know about that. You know, it's usually when these cable outages happen, they make the news. And I haven't heard too many outages of recent days. Maybe it does happen more often than not. But it's a good conspiracy, and people thinking that, you know, first of all, depending on where they were cut. If they were cut in deep water, no way. It was probably just some random act that, either something got drugged through them or just something caused them to break. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are asking, is this related to something the government's doing? Or is, you know, all kinds of conspiracy theorists out there that are talking about this. So I'll let you guys take a look at the article and form your own opinion. What do you guys think? Think there's someone out there that's cutting cables? Is this Al-Qaeda? Are they doing something? Are they trying to be sneaky? Who knows? All right, update your Twitter, Facebook, and other status messages simultaneously with Hello Text. So Hello Text makes it easy to make sure all of your friends know what you're up to at all times, no matter what social networking service you use. So you can hook it up to Twitter, to Koo, Pounce, Facebook, Plaxo, Tumblr, Fraser, Mimi, what else? There's one other one there. So one message, and it blasts out to all those different social media sites. That's cool. Definitely going to be checking out. By the way, my mom has joined the Twitter family. So if you are a Twitter user and you are a follower of the Sherrycast, you can add Sherrycast. Please follow her. Now, I will say this. I told her to be careful on who she's following back. So it would be good to, you know, if you mention that you listen to her show or that you listen to this show so that she knows who you are so she can make a decision or not whether she's going to follow. So we'll see how she reacts with Twitter. So far, she thinks it's pretty cool. But I guess I'll let her speak on that on our next Sherrycast and what she thinks about it. Okay, over on the BBC, and I don't know why this didn't, I didn't find this any U.S. news, but the quad core chip known as, this is kind of funny, the Intel's coming up with some strange name, Tukwila, designed for high-end servers rather than personal computers, has busted the 2 billion transistor mark. So we've got a single chip, a quad-core chip that has 2 billion transistors on it. Is that just amazing or what? Now, this server chip is designed to work at only 2 gigahertz, and it's equivalent of a standard PC chip. But again, for a server use, but 2 billion transistors, very, very cool. Congratulations to Intel on pulling that off. Okay, lots of stuff going on in the FCC's auction. for the 700 megahertz spectrum. We talked about how the minimum for the one package had been reached for the entire United States coverage with 4.7 billion. Now there's been some additional bids done on the pod on the package 50 states, where there's 8 licenses available, and the bid right now is at $4,713,000,000. So it's actually raised more money than the nationwide. Actually, it hasn't. Yeah, it has. It's reached 472. Yes, it's raised more money than the national one. So lots of speculation on what's going on in the auction right now. And they're thinking that maybe one of the major carriers has been sandbagging in the way they've been bidding to kind of try to hide what they've been doing. But speculation continues that Google is the $4.7 billion bidder in the other part of the spectrum. So we will see what happens, and it could be proved to be very, very interesting here if Google ends up with the license for that. All right, let me move on here. Oh, hey, Space Shuttle is scheduled to launch on Thursday, so NASA shuttle managers have decided to move ahead with the plans to launch Atlantis on Thursday after coming up with a fix for a kinked radiator hose. So it looks like we're looking for a 2:45 Eastern, 19:45 GMT launch on Thursday for the shuttle to take a trip to the International Space Station. They're going to be carrying the next module for the International Space Station. Looks like they're a go here for that. Now, they're going to stow this kink cable manually. So long as that goes good, we will be pressed for launch. Of course, there may be some weather out there that could cause a delay, but hopefully they'll get off the pad on time. All right, Derek Miller over at Pen Machine at penmachine.com. And, of course, we played some of Derek's music on the show from time to time. He's a great artist, and at this point, I think he can be officially considered a cancer survivor. I don't know if he's completely been cleared or not, but he wrote a good article. Said, "Can you make money from blogging and podcasting?" And Derek's been working with us at Raw Voice and with Blueberry for a while. He's been on one of our national buys for probably close to 2 years, and I know what type of checks Derek writes. We write Derek, and he's done pretty good for having a small show. But I think this is a good article for those of you that are wondering if you can make money in podcasting, if you can make money from blogging. And while he isn't in it to replace his day job, at least at this point, he has earned some income from his show. So I think it's a good read. And one thing I like about in his article is that it's not magic, it's work. And I want to read this to you. If you're going to make money online, you need entrepreneurial impulse, or you'll need to work with others who do. You need to know how these media, this new media works, and how to promote and take advantage of them in all sorts of ways. So I completely agree with Derek's commentary here. And I want to thank Derek for linking to us, of course, in his article as well. All right, those of you on AT&T broadband, sorry, your rates are going up $5. They're having a $5 per month hike. It's going to apply in all states. And you're going to have, the $5 per month hike will apply in all, but the states acquired with the buyout of Bell South. It will affect customers who have the company's 3 slowest broadband tiers, ranging from 768 kbps to 3 mbps at AT&T. So I guess the 1.5 megabits per second service is the most common amongst AT&T's 14.2 million broadband customers. So it's going to cost you $5 more. So, this is not surprising here. They're trying to squeeze more money out of you while at the same time spying on the packets that's moving back and forth and that you're moving and all the other stuff. How many of you are on AT&T ADSL? What do you think about these antics of AT&T? Love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, 619-342-7365. All right, Apple users, if you are buying a lot of movies or you're downloading a lot of stuff, add metadata tags to your MP4s easily with MetaX. This looks like a pretty cool program. I've always looked for a program that does a real good job doing metadata, actually writing the metadata to the file that can be, you know, iTunes does it, but you want to be able to share that metadata with other people, especially if you're creating media. So I'm going to be checking this one out here. So again, add metadata tags to MP4 easily with MetaX. And this is a spinoff of an open source program called Atomic Parsley. So wasn't familiar with that one. I'm going to check both those out. All right, NASA is going to be beaming a Beatles song into space. It's only going to take about 433 light years to get where it's going. So anyway, they're going to beam a Beatles song. It's called Across the Universe. We'll go into deep space at 7 p.m. Eastern. So I guess it's already gone. So today is the 40th anniversary of the song's first recording. And this is also the 50th anniversary of NASA's founding, marks two other anniversaries for NASA. The launch 50 years ago this week of Explorer 1, the first U.S. satellite, and the creation of 45 years ago of the Deep Space Network. That's amazing. 45 years ago, think about that. We've had the Deep Space Network in for 45 years. Why'd we need the Deep Space Network 45 years ago? Interesting. I need to do a little research on that. I really, really do. I didn't realize the Deep Space Network had been in place for 45 years. All right, someone's got to be an expert on that. Drop me a line. Want to hear about it. Really, really do. All right, how many Comcast customers, how many of you need a number that will get you through to their national support desk dispatchers directly without going through the voicemail touch tone pain that you normally would to reach tech support? 1-888-345-5731. And there's even a link on the Consumerist website to some of the vexing issues that Comcast are seeing, along with some links to some of their direct tech support people. So if you're a Comcast customer and you need some extra support or direct support, definitely check the link up in the show notes. This comes from ZDNet.com. All right, what have I got for you tonight? I got a couple of audio comments. I will mention I got a voicemail that was 4 minutes and 52 seconds long. Nope, not going to play it. It needs to be, please, try to keep them to a couple of minutes. 5 minutes is entirely too long, especially when there's just multiple questions being answered. I don't mind playing the voicemails, but definitely too long on that one. Get through two voicemails, get through the email comments, and we'll get everyone out of here early today. But hope you guys enjoyed the content, and been looking at the time that we've been running. And I'm a little bit concerned about it. I think it's because on the road I'm not sourcing out as much info as I normally do. So if you guys see stuff that you think would be of interest on the show, you can help me out by sending me links. Now, it has to get to me by Monday at about 6 p.m. Eastern right now, so that I can have it included in my show lineup of stuff I'm going to talk about. So if you have some stuff that you find, feel free to drop it off to me. And also, I'm going to be having to tighten things up a little bit on email as well. But please keep sending stuff. I definitely appreciate it. We'll get through as much of it as possible. But again, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And here comes the first voicemail of the night.
Hey, Todd, it's Mike Wills from Mike's Hot Dish at mikeshotdish.com, of course. Someone brought up the Kindle and how they don't really like it. They prefer the tactile kind of feedback of books. And, you know, I'm not going to argue with that. There's definitely something about having that book in front of you. But I've also been listening to a podcast that's run by at least one mainstream author and then a few indie I shouldn't call them indie, but more of an indie type, not as well-known authors. The show is called Cover to Cover, And that's can be found at thedragonpage.com. And so they've been talking a lot about ebooks and ebook readers, things like that. So for those people who are interested in a little more kind of topics about that, especially from, you know, the people that actually get paid for that kind of stuff, it's some really great feedback. And just for full disclosure, they are part of Farpoint Media, of which I am also a part of, just for any kind of bias or whatever, you know, just to disclose, I guess. I would recommend checking them out if you're more interested in the Kindle. Past several shows they've been talking about ever since Kindle came out, I think, pretty much. But that's thedragonpage.com.
All right, Mike, thanks for that. Appreciate it. I'm sure everyone will want to check that out. All right, here comes the next voicemail for the evening.
Hey, Todd, it's John B. in Lakewood, Colorado. Wanted to give you a testimonial about the Jawbone, and I also wanted to comment on books. So, books first. I read a ton of books. I like the paperbacks, and I like the hard books, and I don't like the electronic version. I do listen to a couple of audio books, but I am a voracious reader. I read at least 2 books a week, and I'm not talking little bitty books. I read textbooks, and I read novels, and I read occasionally a textbook. One textbook a month on some subject, Linux or something else, and at least an additional book a week, and in some cases 2 books. I love to read. And my wife and I don't have a TV. We have an old analog TV, and we're not going to get a digital. I'm stressing about that, but, hey, we don't watch it that much. We watch maybe 2 hours a week total. So that's it. Sources of news come from somewhere else. All right, that's books. Testimonial. I have a Jawbone, and I'm talking to you now through my Jawbone, and it is great. I have used lots of Bluetooth headsets. I've used lots of Bluetooth things, and the Jawbone is by far the best one. I have to use a headset for what I do, and I've had tethered ones, and you know what? I snagged that tether on everything, and I've busted a whole bunch of wired ones. So I needed a Bluetooth one. Jawbone's great. That's my testimonial. It connects to my Razor. I hate the Razor, and I am going to get a new one, but the Jawbone stays. Okay. Hey, love the show. Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for that. Thanks for the testimony on the Jawbone. And, of course, thanks for the feedback on the books. Wow. Where do you get the time to read that many books? I love reading, but I just, at this stage, sometimes I'm lucky if I sleep. I really do. All right, let's go ahead and get into the voicemail comments. Let's get into the email comments. We're done with the voicemail for tonight. Okay, first thing up, for those of you that, and this is the reason it reminded me of this is I had it in the actual email thread. For those of you that have those autoresponder services, in other words, you have an email that is sent back to the person sending email, say, please verify me to talk to you, or let your email through. If you're signing up for our newsletter and you have one of those verifiers, I get these all the time, and it drives me crazy. Please whitelist the newsletter so that you don't, I don't have to go through and verify all these emails every time. It just adds another layer of complexity to it. Or have the newsletter go to an email that you don't have one of these services on. I'll keep approving them, but it is a little bit annoying. Got an email from Kay. I said, hey, Todd, I was listening to your podcast this morning. You mentioned Guam and how they were so well wired for communications. It made me think of Windom, Minnesota, population less than 5,000, where I went to high school and where my mom still lives. A few years ago, they wired the town with fiber optics for internet, phone, and cable TV after the public voted in favor of the move. See these articles. And she links me up to their town website as well. She said, this was a big deal for a small town. A couple of years ago, my siblings and I were at the county fair in Windom, and I was able to use the internet with my pocket PC because they were offering free internet over the fairgrounds. Thanks for your faithful podcast, Kay. Very, very cool, Kay. And that, that's what small towns need to do, and small communities as well, take action into their own hands. got an email from Tracy. Hey, the link below is to the 2008 International Space Station calendar. It's a mix of cool pictures and historical dates from the space program. If you're into space, it makes a nice wall calendar. Seems nobody's heard of it. Thought you guys might want to give it a plug on your shows. Enjoyed the CES coverage. Thanks so much for all the hard work. And Tracy, thanks, Tracy. I definitely appreciate that. And I'll have that link up in the show notes. Okay, moving on here. We got an email from Randy, a.k.a. Randy on the Road, the big road in a nut, the noose, a.k.a. the geek or whatever else monkey or that one might want to label me as. He goes, whilst I'm writing this on my XP machine, I'm still a big fan of the Penguin. It's the America thing to root for the underdog. There are those that are hardcore Linux fans, and then there are those that are really simple fiddling with the OS. But we fans of the Penguins might know, would love to hear you talk about playing around with a Linux distro from time to time. That's all. Just drink some Kool-Aid. I just would love to hear that you've tried Ubuntu, Fedora, Mandriva, PC Linux. Hey, I'm on Fedora. I got two servers on CentOS. Four servers now on CentOS and four on Fedora. So I've been there. I'm not using them on my personal laptops, but I'm using them to drive our websites with. Anyway, go on to here. Said even just one of the USB drive versions, Puppy Linux or Small Linux. Even just one of the USB drive versions. I guess with the Linux desktop publishing in the past year, still less than 1% of the desktop market, maybe just 1% of your time commenting on a Linux desktop, ranting that the sound card doesn't work on one of the machines or something, that you think it's a cool, that the open source software has OSs that are fairly secure, lightweight, regular, and as small as 100 megs. Bloated, tight code. Anyway, enjoy tripping around the U.S. with your GPS device. As always, I enjoy the show, Randy. And you know, Randy, believe me, I would. It's just a matter of time. I don't have the time cycles to dedicate to it. I really, really don't. I'd like to play with a lot of things, but I just don't have the time to push this through. Anyway, I got an email from Susabel. She said, hey, that phone directory that was offering private cell phone numbers for a fee, they have ceased operations, and she provided me the link to that. Thanks, Susabel. Appreciate that. And I got an email from Andrew. Hey, Todd, a couple of shows ago, you're talking about the size of the universe, and by pure coincidence, I was sent an attachment by a friend. It's quite a good demonstration of the relative size of things, too. Here in Northern Ireland, the Armagh Observatory and Planetarium has large grounds in which they have an astropark, which tries to demonstrate the size of things in space. I visited it and the hypercube and the hill of infinity are very good at showing the size of the universe. Basically, you walk up the hill of infinity, walking away from the sun, and every 10 meters you get 10 times further away. Set into the ground are markers representing various points of interest. I'd guess that it's about 200 to 300 meters in total. They even had to cheat a bit by using a logarithmic scale, but it's impressive nonetheless, and he has a link to the actual park itself. All right, let me see here. Was that the last email? It was. And wow, we are done in record time, folks. We really, really are. Okay, well, just more of the same here. I'm on the road meeting with people, getting things done in the podcasting space. I'm real happy with things as they has progressed, spreading the word, getting information out, and I hope that you guys continue to do the same thing. Hopefully we'll be able to hook up with some of the listeners on Wednesday night. We'll try to do that, try to make that happen. A little bit of a logistic challenge, but a little driving on my part as well, but I'm happy to do it. We just got to find a good place in South Indy to meet up and have dinner and have a chat, and hopefully we can get at least three or four people. I know we've got two, initially maybe three, that said they were interested. So if you're in the Indianapolis area, definitely send me an email, moskosh, right away, folks. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Thanks for everyone that's mentioning podcastfaq.com in their blogs. And if you haven't, please do so. I'll give you send me a link to it, and I'll give you a free mention in the show. Trying to get the word out on that website as much as possible. Cover it in your podcast as well. Share it with your listeners. And if you got stuff you want to submit, please submit it to us. We're adding stuff that's being submitted by people on a daily basis. PodcastFAQ.com, the place for podcast information for both listeners and podcasters. All right, folks, that's it. Everyone have a great week. We will see you on, well, you notice I said Monday at the beginning of the show, right? It's because it's so early here. It's going to be Monday. It doesn't make any sense to say Tuesday because when I'm in Hawaii, for most of you, it's already Tuesday. So it's Monday this week. Most of you still get the show on Tuesday, and I'll record the show on Thursday, which most of you will get anyway on Friday. So anyway, y'all have a great week. Take care. And aloha from the home of the Hoosiers. Take care, folks. Aloha.